originally planned on Ecclesia, the gathering, the church, and I've called it Putting It All Together. I'm not quite sure whether that's the best, thanks Dee, the best title to give it. I want to begin by reading some verses from Ephesians chapter 1, just to put the whole thing into context. So Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 10, and then I'm going to read Paul's prayer in verse 15 to the end of the chapter. These verses are really, really important for us as God's people, the church. So verse 10 of Ephesians, or I come in at verse 9. God has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. What is that? It's to be put into effect when times have reached their fulfillment. It's a hope. It is to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. It's sort of Plato, Confucius, Buddha, all these guys who talk about the possibility of harmony. And that's what God wants to do through Christ. It's amazing. And so Paul's prayer comes out of this. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, his glorious purpose, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe, because we are working out his purpose. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet. Build your throne to be head over everything. For the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. It's God's purpose to bring harmony, to renew, to redeem, to restore creation, and to do it through the ecclesia, through the church. That's what this is about. And I believe that the Lord wants to challenge us all as Glendale Church about the part that we play in our gatherings, especially our main Sunday services. If the Holy Spirit gifts individual believers for the benefit of the whole body, like the New Testament teaches, and we've been hearing it over past weeks through this series, we should use and develop these gifts. And at the moment, in my view, it doesn't happen very much. So what might it look like? Well, there would be more contributions to worship from the body of the church. Leaders often give permission for this by leaving quiet spaces or by inviting people to contribute. And sometimes there is response, but I sense that most of us don't feel comfortable to share. It was very different in the church at Corinth. I think I should say, a lot of these guys came out of a tradition of temple worship. There is a lot in the world today. There are many churches where you can go and you can still find in Christian churches vestiges of temple worship, as in Old Testament. Not time to go into it. They had a background of the synagogue. You can go into many churches throughout the world where they've taken on the form of the synagogue, more or less, in their gatherings. The non-Jewish people were from temples where they worshipped. You can see aspects of that that has come into Christian worship. But it feels to me as though the new people of God through the gospel needed to develop new ways to worship. After all, there was a big difference. The Holy Spirit had come. And we do not have a blueprint because they were working it out. But we have little pictures of what perhaps God might be wanting. And we have some teaching like we've been doing over the past few weeks. There's a health warning over Corinthians, over the whole of it. The Corinthian church was in a mess in all sorts of ways. And that's why Paul wrote to them. You need to read between the lines to see it and to see what Paul really was thinking that should go on or might go on. So the Corinthian problems actually deepen our insight into meetings of the primitive church. It's like a sort of paradox, a contradiction. It's because they were in such a mess that Paul wrote them letters, and hence we find out what was going on in the primitive church and what might be going on. The Corinthian meetings were chaotic because so many people were clamoring to contribute. It would have been so informal as to be unbelievable. People interrupting each other, somebody else standing up to say something or whatever. And you might think that Paul would be saying to them, look, guys, just visit the synagogue and see what goes on there where you came from and sort it out. And let's have a bit of order and just leave it to the people at the front. They'll run the gathering. And they'll plan it in advance really well. And they'll stick to the plan. What does Paul say? Well, here it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, coming in at verse 26. Let's just go through it. He's really only got things to say about two of the spiritual gifts. We're not going to make a lot of that. But let's come in at verse 26. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? Brothers and sisters, when you come together, each of you has a hymn. That wasn't the musicians, was it? Or a word of instruction. That's not the pastor or the minister. Or a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Okay, and then he says, really important. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. Now, we've looked at this in various scriptures. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. Whatever goes on is about the church being built up, the body of Christ maturing, becoming more like Jesus in our lives and on our front lines. That's what it's about. It's about the purpose of God being worked out through the church. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. When we looked at the gifts in Romans, Corinthians, and Ephesians, they're all saying exactly that. God is glorified and God's purpose is realized when we are built up. It's not about having a good time or, and being entertained, having fun. Those things can all happen, but it's about us being built up. We are serious about faith here. Lovely to hear Paul sharing about those guys
that they've been visiting and the seriousness which they have in their attitude to faith. Okay, so then he says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, and here we're going into tongues. And Paul's not all that happy about this, really. You can hear that. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two, or at the most three, not 15 or 20 of you, should speak, and one at a time. You know, just hang on here. We need to hear what somebody's saying. And then someone has to interpret it. Because if there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet. It's not that he might as well keep quiet. He should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. Because it doesn't do any building up if people are doing their own thing and nobody knows what they're on about. How can people be built up if they don't understand? If it doesn't build up, it's not got a place in the meeting. Next, prophecy. Two or three prophets should speak. That's enough. And the others should weigh carefully what is said. Okay, so, you know, I'm saying something. I'm saying to you, I believe the Lord has something for me to share this morning. You should all be involved in thinking about that. All of you. You're the others. Shouldn't just sit there and take it on board and think, oh, this is a prophetic word. It may be a prophetic word. It may not be. If I tell you it is, I think you need to just be a little bit careful about that. I think it's the listeners who need to discern. If a revelation comes to someone who's sitting down, Paul says, the first speaker should stop. I don't know about you, but in our family, when we're around the meal table, sometimes we have great conversations going on, and somebody interrupts. And when somebody interrupts, they get really shouted down. You know, somebody's enthusiastic, and they want to say what they want to say, and they can't wait for the other person to finish. And they're really... they're in trouble over that. Paul doesn't say it should be closed down. He thinks it's sometimes going to happen legitimately. Somebody really has got a revelation, and it's really important to hear this. It's come at this moment when they're speaking. Don't quite know how you make that judgment that it's really that important. I don't quite know. But the point is, I'm hearing Paul not shutting this up. But he is talking about the importance of it really being a revelation, really being from the Spirit. And we need to be very careful about how we jump to conclusions about that. So there's room for spontaneity. There's room for moments of inspiration. And I think this is the message. Listen, this is for the body. Listen for the Lord speaking through each other in an orderly, peaceful way, and be alert to the possibility that it's not from the Lord at all. Okay, not really going into what prophecy is, and that's a massive subject, and sort of changes as you go through different periods of the church, and what people are saying today is different to what the church was perhaps saying before, and it's really good to see what Scripture has to say about that. It's a really serious issue, this issue of prophecy, and it's treated far too lightly very often in much of the Christian church. So I'm saying, pointing out that Paul's done now with spiritual gifts. He's only mentioned tongues and prophecy out of the lists that we've had. But we do have other gifts. So read 1 Corinthians 12, we've done it on a Sunday morning. Ephesians 5, 18 to 20. Colossians 3, 16, which talk about when you come together, some of you have a song, one of you have a hymn, you know, and this is all for building the church up. So Paul's saying things like this in Ephesians and Colossians. He's not going into it because it's not a problem there. He's encouraging them. We also have Acts 2, which we also dealt with in one of these subjects on the Ecclesia, where it talks about prayer, breaking of bread, apostles' doctrine, and so on and so on. Really key things that should be happening in the church. So this should all be going on within the church. And I sort of get the feeling from the way that he writes about tongues and prophecy that it's not limited to what happens at the front. Now, he suddenly says this thing about women. And so, at the beginning of the service, somebody said to me, "Oh, I'm really looking forward to what you're going to be saying about this women thing." I said, "I'm not going to duck it. I'm going to hit it. I want to. I really want to. I think it's important." So, verses 34 and 35. Women should remain silent in the churches. They're not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. Now, what Paul says about women 2,000 years ago isn't very easy for us to hear clearly. For example, I'm not talking about here, I'm talking about wherever he writes. For example, in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, that's just the same letter, just a little bit before it, he says, "A woman should have her head covered when she prays or prophesies." So, well, that's not silence in the gathering, is it? At Philippi, Paul begins the church. The church is born when Paul shares the gospel with a group of women that includes Lydia, who he clearly favours. In Colossians, he mentions Nympha and the gathering in her house. In Romans 16, he refers to Priscilla and Aquila as my co-workers in the ministry of Christ Jesus. So what's he on about here in 1 Corinthians 14 when he says that the women should be silent in the gatherings? Well, if you visit an Orthodox synagogue today, you will find that the men are engaging in worship while the women are separated in their gallery. And it's quite possible that the women would be coming and going, that they'll be doing things like sewing or having a jolly good old gossip or whatever, and it'll get noisy and they have to have an usher to go round and to make sure that they're quiet because it can interrupt what's going on in the body of the synagogue. And I've already said, these guys have come from synagogue worship, a lot of them. And I feel really sure in my mind that in this section here, Paul is saying, look, while all this stuff is going on, there are women who are chattering and who are interrupting with their sort of business and their interests, and they're not really into the worship side of thing at all, and it's a problem. So look, the women shouldn't be doing that, nor should the men if they do it, but you don't sort of expect the men to do it because they're used to going to the synagogue and participating in the worship, but the women are not. So we don't want interruptions that have got nothing to do with the worship. No chatting about other things. It's really important to deal with this because it was a problem in the church that was interrupting stuff and preventing it from being as it should. But to us, it might make us think the women shouldn't have a part in worship. And it definitely doesn't mean that. Now, Paul says one or two things in the next verses that are not relevant to what we're saying. Did the word of God originate with you? Are you the only people it's reached? If anyone thinks they're a prophet or otherwise gifted by the Spirit, let them acknowledge that what I'm writing to you is the Lord's command. If anyone ignores this, they will themselves be ignored. And then he finishes off this section. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. I think it's really interesting. I do think it's interesting. There was clearly a problem over the use of tongues. There was a problem over prophecy. What does Paul do? He does not shut down speaking in tongues, and nor should we. But we should use this criteria. What is helpful? What is building and going to build the church? And definitely, prophecy is definitely clearly going to, because that is sort of speaking God's word, understanding God's word, and bringing it to the people. But we should be careful, I think, around and coming to quick conclusions about prophecy. And Paul has already said that there's a real role for everybody in discerning and judging what's going on. Now, that's the passage, and I want now to just think about practice in our gatherings just a little bit more and as simply as I can. So I want to say that we would like to see, the leadership would like to see more contributions in our worship, especially on Sundays. I mean, it happens in life groups much more easily, though even there some people can dominate, the leaders can dominate. We want to see more contributions to encourage, to enrich, to build the body up. It just seems absolutely plain and obvious to me. We've gone through three passages about the gifts, which are for the building up of the church. How can the body be best built up if God wants to use gifts in people to do that by his Holy Spirit, and we stifle it? We should be developing this, not stifling it. And of course, there are downsides. You know, there's reason why some might feel nervous. There's always the possibility of people not contributing in the spirit. Well, fine, yes. But that's for the others to discern. We don't just have to listen and accept, you know. That's not what Paul is saying. We need to listen. We need to discern. We need to be prayerful. We need to have discussions with the people who've said things sometimes, you know. And it's not a heavy thing. It can be a really light-hearted thing, perhaps. You know, like the sort of repartee that we have in all sorts of ways going on. So there's also the possibility of people just really not contributing in the spirit. And when things may be unhelpful or wrong, well, then that needs to be dealt with. Discernment and wisdom are needed. But it doesn't mean that we should be discouraging the development of gift. So now here are some suggestions for developing participation in our gatherings that I think might be helpful. And I just really want to say these things. So the first thing is, I think there's a problem. These are two don'ts. Don't think it needs to be big. And don't think it needs to be a named gift. You know, it's not for you to tell me what your gift is, or for me to tell you what my gift is. It's for others to say what the gifting is, because they are hearing the Lord and they are being blessed and built up through what is being said. It's inhibiting to think, oh, I'm not a prophet, I can't say that, or I don't have a word of knowledge, and you put labels on these things, and it is, I think, totally unhelpful and inhibiting. And somehow there's a mystery about it for many people. Let's get rid of that. Number two, don't rule yourself out because you don't feel good enough or because you are a new believer. We all know how exciting it is when our children speak their first stumbling words. With encouragement, they would develop the ability to contribute to family discussion. But they'll never get there if they're not encouraged and if they can't make mistakes. And these are things that we can do. Number one, I think, we need to think about what encourages us. I know that when somebody makes a contribution of a certain type, people feel blessed. They tell me. We know what blesses us. We know what helps us. Well, let all of us be open to helping others and to encouraging others by the possibility of a contribution. Another do. Throughout the week, be open to the possibility of contributing to worship when we're together on the Sunday, if opportunity is given, when we meet. You know, wow, this verse is really blessing me that I'm looking at today. Or the Lord's really seems to have spoken to me about this in this situation. Maybe I could share that on Sunday morning if I'm given an opportunity, and it would encourage others. In the meeting, be open to the prompting of the Spirit, a sense that perhaps God is asking me to say something. Be willing to share a verse or two of Scripture. You can't go wrong with that. It might not feel relevant to some people. It might not be relevant. We might have a chat about it. But be open to sharing a verse or two of Scripture that you found helpful. Or maybe to share a thought or idea that you feel that the Lord has laid on your heart, which might be helpful to someone else. Or perhaps to share a simple testimony. And finally, be really open to others reflecting on your contribution without you thinking, wow, this is serious, I've done something wrong. You know, sort of a sense of sharing together and growing together, like you do in family. And then finally, a word for leaders, a word for all of those of us who are at the front. Service leaders, musicians, speakers. We need to be sensitive to allowing and encouraging participation from the gathering. We're the ones who can stifle it. We are the ones who can encourage it. It's about being the body of Christ. It's about being open to the moving of his Spirit among us. And he is in us. You know, it's not. This isn't about a big new thing. Oh, suddenly, you know, I'm feeling all trembly. The Spirit is in us. If we are his. It's about being the body of Christ. It's about being open to the moving of the Spirit among us. So that the Lord can fulfill his purpose among us. Through us as individuals. Speaking into the body. And the body benefiting from all of its parts. And of course there will be some people who do this more than others. And of course we would see gifts developing in some. And perhaps recognised in some. More than in others. We all have different parts to play, and it isn't all in contributing to the body. But there's loads of you there who've got loads to give, and you don't. And I think that Paul's words when he writes to the Thessalonians are just brilliant to finish with. He says, encourage one another. And build each other up. Not you guys at the front do all this. No, encourage one another. Build each other up.